This episode of Risen Motherhood is brought to you in part by Crossway, publisher of Journey to the Cross by Paul David Tripp. These short devotions invite you to prepare your heart for Easter by focusing on the suffering and sacrifice of Jesus this Lenten season. Now through March 31st, 2021, Risen Motherhood listeners can pick up Journey to the Cross for 40% off with a free Crossway Plus membership. Just head over to crossway.org/risenmotherhood for more info. We're so thankful for Crossway's sponsorship.
Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet, which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Hey guys, Emily here. Welcome back to another episode of Risen Motherhood. We are so excited for you to hear their second part in the Fear mini-series. But before we jump into today's show, we just wanted to share with you some freebies that are going along with this series. One that I want to tell you about today is a devotional I wrote just for you guys called Fear Him More. As we were talking about this topic, we realized, Laura and I, that what we all really need is to go to Scripture. We need to understand who God is and what He says about fearing Him and dealing with our fears and worries and anxieties in life. And so that devotional includes 5 days of short Bible readings and then some thoughts to just help you as you process what the Word says and meditate on it. There are also a guided prayer that you can go through and some questions. So we hope that that really serves you alongside this series to get into the Word of God, which is the primary place we all need to go for hope and help. But that is not the only freebie that you can get. You can also get a downloadable tool for kids. It's a craft called the Wheel of Truth, and there are all kinds of promises of God that you can share with your kids. And then we also compiled a playlist for you guys on Spotify, something you can listen to when you're processing through fears and anxieties. So head over to risenmotherhood.com/fear to get all of the resources I just mentioned. Okay, let's get to the show. Welcome back to another episode of Risen Motherhood. I'm Emily here with my sister-in-law, Laura.
Hey, guys.
And we have another episode in our mini-series on the topic of fear. So real quick, before you listen, if you have not listened to last week's episode, we would encourage you to listen to this whole series chronologically if you can. They are definitely standalone episodes. We hope that you'll get some good truth out of each one that you listen to. But we also intend this to be set in the context of a whole series where we're examining the topic from a lot of different angles.
Every time Emily says examining on the last season and on this, or the last series, well, the whole time I've ever known Emily, she always moves her hand and as if she's like holding an orb, you know?
Yes.
Examining. I don't know. It's a little bit, it's
hilarious. Looking at an object from all the different angles.
I do.
Oh, man.
Every time.
I'm doing it right now.
Every time. I wish you guys could see her sometimes. Okay. So we're talking about fear, like Emily said. And I think what's funny is I looked it up. You guys have probably heard people say, oh, there are 365 fear knots in the Bible. So I was like, hey, is that true? I'm going to look that up. And I think it depends on how you count it and what version you're reading. But yes, indeed, fear is talked about a ton in the Bible, and probably at least 365 fear knots are in the Bible, something along those lines. But clearly we can know that, hey, God knew that we'd be afraid and He knew we need some counsel on it.
Yeah. It's interesting. I just started rereading through the Bible about a month ago.
Oh yeah.
And I'm using a post-it note as my bookmark because that's all I can find around the house.
Yeah.
And I started writing down verses that have to do with fear because I'm like, oh, maybe we'd like to talk about this one or this one. And my whole post-it note is already full.
Oh, I believe that.
And I'm already a month into it. So there's definitely at least 365 references to it.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. I think that there are so many examples if you look in Scripture, and you're probably hitting tons of them. Emily has to read the Bible through. I'm also reading the Bible through. I'm a few months. I'm like 4 or 5 months in. Which, P.S., just side note to advocate that if you would like to read the Bible through in a year, you do not have to start in January. It's February. Sometime in February right now, probably, that you're listening to this, you can start right now.
Start now.
Okay. That was just a little side plug. But the point being, there are tons of examples of women who faced fear in scripture. Some of them handled it really, really well, and some of them didn't. But there are a lot of really good ones that we want to talk about for a second.
Yeah, especially going back to the Old Testament. I mean, we'll talk a little bit about Eve and kind of their
journey out of the garden.
But I love that story from Exodus of the Hebrew midwives fearing God more than they feared Pharaoh and obeying him, even though what they were doing was technically against his law or his decree.
Saving babies.
Yes, and God worked in and through that in an incredibly powerful way for the, you know, the redemption of his people, and he blesses them because they're willing to stand up and obey the Lord.
Yeah. How about Moses' mama sending him down in a basket? Like, think about how much fear you would have of being like, he might die. He's this cute little baby, I'm going to put him in this reed basket. I'm going to send him down the Nile. Like, just put yourself in that mom's shoes.
It's just gut-wrenching.
Yes, it's gut-wrenching. That's right. And what a gift that the Lord gave her a few more years with him, right? When the Pharaoh's daughter found him, and then what's Moses' sister's name? Miriam went and found a nurse. Like, ta-da. I love that. I just thought that was neat.
And then when you move into like wisdom literature, Proverbs 31, I mean, you start reading that one. There's such beautiful imagery about she is not afraid. And she clothes her household and she's working hard and she's laughing at the future. And we know enough about the people in scripture to know they did not have easy, perfect lives. They had very real fears and challenges and things that were threatening their livelihood, just like we experience today. So this was not a woman in a perfect situation. And yet we see her trusting the Lord and working hard in the midst of that.
Yeah, I always love Esther and going to the king and she just knowing that, hey, I might die if he doesn't send that scepter down and say that it's cool that I approached him at the throne. Like, I could lose my life. And she asks, you know, everybody to pray for her. And it's just neat to see her fearlessness to be able to save her people. Or even Deborah going into battle with Barak. Her response, what is it? Something like, she's saying like, you should be able to do this yourself, but fine, I'll go with you. You know, like, how scary to like go into battle.
I mean, we just got done celebrating Christmas a while back, but it never gets old reading about Mary's response to the angel. Right. And over again, angels appear to people in the Bible.
And they're scary.
They're terrified.
They are not little cherubs.
The first thing they have to say is, don't be afraid.
I know. I was telling my kids that we're talking, you know, I'm homeschooling this year and we were talking about art and how cherubs and angels were displayed and they were kept asking, why is it a naked baby? Why is it a naked baby? I was like, I have no idea. Legit, I don't know. But that is not what an angel looks like, kiddos. And I showed them some pictures of like artist renderings on, you know, Google images. And they were like, that's a lot scarier. I'm like, I know.
I know. But it's though amazing to read about her testimony and the way she worships the Lord and obeys him in the midst of, you know, a pregnancy out of wedlock that is incredibly difficult to explain. And it comes with lots of shame and all kinds of stuff. And yet she follows the Lord faithfully. I mean, these are the kind of women that we want to emulate. Follow them as they follow the Lord in the midst of terrifying circumstances.
Yeah, I think that I just look at their courage and think, man, how can I get just a little tiny bit of that? And of course, we're going to talk about this a ton because this is the gospel. But you think about Christ and just the fear that he faced in the cross and ultimately setting the example for us. Of course, but also like what a gift, you know, we're going to spoiler alert here, but what a gift that we have the Holy Spirit in us to help us face our fears the way Christ did and the way these women did, you know, and just be able to have help because we're not able to do that on our own. So,
amen.
Ooh, okay.
So today, as Laura just kind of mentioned, we're going to be talking we're going to be talking through the gospel. And if you are just joining us for the first time at Risen Motherhood, one of the mnemonic devices that we really like to use is creation, fall, redemption, consummation. As you listen along, we think you will catch what those words mean, but they are just kind of little checkpoints to grab onto that help us think through the whole counsel of God, which means just the whole Bible and all the stories and the way that they fit together. And so when we take a topic and we go through creation, fall, redemption, consummation, we kind of follow it through the Bible and see what each aspect of the gospel has to say about it. And it helps us get a bigger picture.
Yeah. If you've ever seen our logo, it is four squares. Lots of people like to ask us what that is. And those four squares that are sort of set in a diamond shape, they represent the four parts of the gospel. So you can also look to that and also have a fun fact
That is a fun fact.
Okay. So the creation, that's where we're going to start with the gospel. And guys, as I was like thinking through this, and I think Emily, you probably felt the same. Like my mind was being blown with all the ways that I thought of what fear might have looked like or might not have looked like in creation. Because we know that Adam and Eve did not face fear like we know it today, at least while they were still in the garden. Like they don't have a concept. At that point, they did not have a concept of what we do for fear.
It is really, really interesting to think all they kind of had to do was just fear the Lord.
Yes,
and
yes,
that,
yes.
Like, there we go. Trusting him, believing that he'd given them all that they needed. He was providing for their very life. They didn't have to fear death. They didn't have to fear getting hurt. They didn't have to fear their relationship unraveling. And I mean, this is just kind of pure speculation, but this is how my brain works as I'm processing through this, of just even when she was approached by the serpent, like if she hadn't been kind of tempted in that overt way before, you know, would she have even really thought through the implications of like what could happen if she listened to this lying Satan, the lies of Satan? But then on the other hand, it's interesting to think about, well, regardless of whether she understood the implications of what might have happened, she still should have feared the Lord and obeyed him no matter what. I don't know. There were so many different things I was processing through with that.
Well, I think that's where this question, I think, Emily, you've said it to me, of just like, was it that she was super afraid or was it that she wasn't afraid enough?
Yes.
Right. And we have been talking about that a lot over the course of kind of thinking through this series. And I think that one of the things that we were discussing was this idea of like the serpent talked to her. And like, I don't know, if an animal started talking to me, I'd be a little bit afraid. You know, like that's not normal. And so you have to wonder, were other animals talking in the garden, or was Eve just purely curious? Because she didn't know fear the way we do. And a serpent would not have been scary to her if she's like willing to go up and talk to it. You know what I mean? Or maybe she was just super courageous. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, these are just like questions that we ask. And you can have fun discussing those in your podcast clips because we don't have an answer for you.
Yeah, but I think no matter what, when we look at creation, we know that there wasn't a struggle with sinful fear before this and that they were just meant to fear the Lord. But then FOMO wrecked the earth. I saw that as an article title. I didn't know what it was. I didn't even read the article, but I was like, yes, that is so true.
Oh, it's
in the fall.
So true. They experienced total FOMO because she was like, well, what am I missing out on if I don't eat that fruit?
And you can go read Genesis 3. Actually, I think that's really, really important as we're talking about creation in the fall, is that if you have not read through that account of Genesis 1 through 3, to even read through that exchange, that back and forth that she's having with the serpent, and how he starts to question and undermine and like, well, is this really true? And well, you could be like God. Yeah. And she starts wondering, maybe I am missing out. Maybe I can have more. Maybe God is holding out on me. And that leads to horrific sin that separates them from the Lord.
And that's really what fear is, isn't it? It's this idea that like, maybe I'm missing out. Maybe because I do this or don't do that, like I'm going to miss out. You know, it could be I'm going to end up in the hospital and so I'm not going to miss out on a good life, or, you know, I'm going to end up being shunned by my friends and I'm going to miss out on, you know, being accepted and loved or whatever it is. But that started the spiral of fear as we know it today, like Emily's saying, that fear. And so I think that it's interesting to look and think that, you know, previously when they had heard God's voice, they weren't afraid when they heard it. But then as soon as God speaks again, they were super afraid and they run away and they go and try to hide and stay away from him. And they have this fear of their nakedness or the shame, like God will see me as I really am. And so it starts this spiral of just fear as we know it today.
Right. And all kinds of new fears, I think, come into play as well with death of now they're going to fear because they're going to die in their mortal bodies. They see animals killed to make skins that they're going to wear. I mean, to see the spilling of blood for the first time and to let that sink in. And of course, as they're leaving the garden, it's like, can you imagine going out of the garden where you've had all the food that you need, all the protection, the Lord is walking with you, all of these wonderful things, and like you don't know what you're going to come up against, and like now wild animals are scary. And I mean, there are so many things that they would have had to fear for the very first time.
Man. And to have that, I just think about them and to be able to have that juxtaposition. Like, they knew what a life without fear looked like. And we don't. We really don't have a concept for that. But then they had to go out and face these fears. And so they would not only kind of have the new emotion of fear, but also this idea of, like, what they left behind. I think too about just the cherubim and the flaming sword. I mean, this is a really interesting thing that God puts out. If we think angels are scary, go look up some artist renderings of cherubim and you're going to be like, okay, that's terrifying, you know, downright terrifying. And we read that they turned, or they had a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the tree of life. And so I would imagine that was pretty scary for them. Like a very, like a good kind of scary, like we were talking about a natural fear, something that said, hey, don't enter here. So God put that there to protect them from entering back into the garden, which was really a mercy at that time. As we watch God's story unfold, he protected them from entering back in because of their sin. And we still needed the atonement of Christ to be able to go back in. But anyway, it's just kind of a neat thing to draw out.
Well, I think that transitions well, though, into the greatest fear that all of us should have, which is of death and God's judgment, right? Because that was the major issue that became of this sin that was committed, is that now we not only have to fear dying once, but dying twice. And I was just collecting a few different scriptures. There are so many throughout the Bible that talks about the judgment that is going to come. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. And then there's verses that talk about how we're going to account for every word that we speak, how every single one of our motives is going to be exposed, and that there's eternal punishment and rejection that happens as a result of our sin. That is scary.
So is your voice, but yes. No, you're so right. Those things are really scary. And I think that these are a lot of the things that we're wrestling with in motherhood. They are either trying for us to prevent death or kind of prolong our life or our own children's lives. And so that's us picking kind of the certain food or taking certain safety precautions or just making decisions as we kind of shape their days and experiences. Or we're kind of looking to justify ourselves with others. You know, we want to look good. We want to look like we have it all right. We want to look like we're good enough mom. And so we are making a lot of our decisions based on this sinful fear that entered in the fall.
Right. And it's almost interesting because we mimic some of what we see in Adam and Eve after the fall, of both running from the Lord, being afraid of him. And so even in our motherhood, if we don't have Christ, then we are maybe even avoiding the things of the Lord. People are rejecting like the things of scripture and just feeling like they're so foreign. Because I think deep down, many people have this sense of like, I'm going to be judged. I'm not doing a good enough job.
Oh, yeah.
And they're walking around with that fear because it's true.
Yes, yes. This right here, some of these reasons that we're talking about, this fear that we're having of God, the fear of not being able to put him first in our lives because we're always putting other things first. This is why Christ came, right? He came to reorient our fear. He came to conquer death, that thing that we are so afraid of, to take the fangs out of death. And I love knowing that no matter how scary something is to me, that I can remember that God is Lord over all and that he has conquered it all, that every single thing submits to his power and to his authority, that God is the one who ultimately comforts, loves, provides, and shows mercy to us. And so he is the one that deserves our follow, and he deserves all of our fear, but the right kind of fear.
Right. And it's encouraging to know that right there in the beginning, you know, we're talking about the fall and what happens in Genesis 3, that God promises
to make
a way for his people to come back to him, that he's going to crush the head of the serpent. And we know that he does that. You know, we see that thread pulled all the way through the Old Testament to the New Testament when Jesus comes, where we know that he didn't stay out of the fray. He came down to this earth and he experienced many of the same things that we do. And he stared death in the face and he conquered it.
Yeah.
And so that's where we get into this part where it's like, look, death cannot harm us anymore because Jesus came. And so we see all of these provisions. And one of the ways that he provides for our fear is in the example of his life.
Yeah, yeah. So Emily and I just spent some time kind of thinking about Christ's life and where he might have experienced some fear. And I think one that really has stuck out to me is this idea of when Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness. And this is in Mark 1, 12 through 13. And it says that he was there being tempted by Satan. He was in the wilderness. He had had no food. And there's this part that says, and he was with the wild animals. And just what a contrast that is from Adam and Eve in the garden, right? Jesus was with the wild animals, animals that could probably sense his weakness from not having any food. And they probably wanted to eat him up. And so talk about fear, you know, Adam and Eve from luxuriously hanging out with the lions to like now Christ is dealing with these guys wanting to take his life in the wilderness and Jesus overcoming that.
Yeah, there's so many things that he overcomes. Yeah. And even as he's, you know, looking ahead to the cross and what that's going to mean, we find out in Hebrews 2 that it was for the joy that was set before him that he endured that. And then in Isaiah 11, we know that's because his delight is in the fear of the Lord. And he trusted God. And we see that in his life, that he obeyed his father. He followed his father all the way to the point of death. And as we are supposed to, you know, follow Christ and be obedient and walk in his way, you know, these are some of the things we're going to talk about for us in motherhood is what does it mean for us to obey God, because we know that there is joy at the end of this road, at the end of this life when we're with him forever. What does it mean for our delight to be in the fear of the Lord and to trust him just like Christ did and to know, yeah, that way led him through death. And that means that in this life, some of the obedient acts that we're going to take, whether it be in motherhood or in different aspects of our life, may be walking through really hard things and even being willing to face a physical death, but knowing that Jesus died so that that's not the end of our story.
Oh man. Amen. I mean, this has been such a helpful thing for me to really dig in and get it in deeper into under my skin. I think because there's this idea that I think we've talked about on this show before in the past that like, if I'm going to be on this earth for, you know, 60, 70, 80 years, I'm not sure, that's probably a long guesstimation, you know, perhaps less, perhaps a little bit more. But I think that like, I want to be able to give it all to Christ and to not fear death, to not fear suffering, to not fear hard things, because I know all the things that Emily was talking about, that because of Christ, Hebrews 2:14, he destroyed the one who had the power of death. And that means that death has no hold on us. And so I don't know about you, Emily, but I just feel like that has been a great motivator for me in the midst of fear and hard things to somewhat be able to say, like, I have a huge future ahead of me, which I know we're going to talk about in consummation, but like, because of Christ's life and death here, he paved a way for us to live, in a sense, fearlessly from especially sin and from even the natural things, because I fear the Lord. I have that right religious fear in place that undergirds everything that I do if I'm in Christ. And so that has been so helpful for me as I process through my own life and decisions to make. And I think that that has been so helpful to just be in worship and in awe of what Christ did for me, you know, that it, what he did back then that changes my life today.
Right. And I know we said this at the beginning of the show, but I love that phrase of he takes the fangs out of death, because there's this picture of, you know, something trying to bite you, but it can't really give you a mortal blow because it doesn't ultimately have any power. That leads us to the hope that we have in consummation, because whether we live or we die, we get Christ and we have a wonderful future waiting for us.
Yeah, I think this is such a amazing day to look forward to when we will be free from fear. So we will kind of re-enter back to that Edenic state that Adam and Eve enjoyed, where we are far beyond, I mean, it'll be even better actually, because we're beyond the reach of Satan, right? We're beyond the reach of evil. There will no longer be any of those temptations even possible when we hit that day in consummation, when Christ comes to bring us back and join us with the great cloud of witnesses. And so I think until then, we can look ahead to eternity to inform how we think about fear today. So one of the things that we have is that we have assurance of God's providence in our lives. He performeth the thing that he has appointed for me, Job 23:14. So we know that God is in control and he has our lives. He has them numbered, our days from beginning to end. And so we can live with that peace in the midst of really fearful circumstances, because we know that Christ rules our days.
Yeah. And the other thing is just, we also can know God's comfort in the midst of whatever hard and fearsome thing is that we're facing right now, because we know that, like, even from 2 Corinthians 1, it talks about the Father of mercies is our comfort in whatever affliction it is that we are facing.
Yeah. And the last piece is just that we don't have to lose heart. You know, we can have courage in the midst of really fearful things. We think of Russell Moore. He says, courage is needed not only to do radically important things, but to live out a quiet, ordinary life with integrity and love. So no matter what we're facing, and some days it will just be those quiet, ordinary lives. And some days it kind of feels like we might be facing bigger things that are coming our ways, especially as Christians. We can trust that we have hope and that this is not the end of the story for us. And so we don't lose heart in the midst of it. We see kind of that light that comes and shines the brightest in the darkness, right? And so I think that this for both Emily and I is just an exciting hope even for the Risen Motherhood community, that we would see an entire generation of mothers really change the storyline for what it means to be a mom. Oftentimes, I think moms are stereotyped as being really fearful women and being anxiety-ridden and worried. And I think that's something that having consummation in mind and knowing the full gospel story, like, we can really change that. We can change the statistics about moms, and that we don't have to be women who are totally afraid of what's ahead, but instead that we are women who can look to the future and know that even if the whole world is falling apart, we still trust in our faithful God, and that we can follow the example of not only all the women that we talked about on the past couple of episodes in the Bible, but also of our Christ and our Lord, and know that Christ is bigger and better than anything this world has to offer, and we can rest in Him and not lose heart in the face of mm-hmm. what we're dealing with now.
Yeah, I love that verse in John 16:33, where Jesus says, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." And so Jesus is not ignoring the fact that we're going to have tribulation, there's going to be hard things, there's going to be scary things, but He has overcome them. And that's the hope that we have in whatever situation we are facing today, whether it is not being sure about, you know, the mask thing or sickness or whether or not you can be able to get the groceries that you need, all of those things, those can be legitimate, very real afflictions and tribulations that we are facing. But Jesus Christ provides our deepest peace. And so that's the hope that we have now. It's the hope that we have forevermore. And it is a very real, tangible thing.
Yeah. I want to end with these lines from Amazing Grace. It says, "'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed." And just those lines, "'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved." Just really powerful to think about what we talked about with Christ's atoning work and how it both taught us to fear God and have our fear placed rightly, and also it relieved those sinful fears or even those natural fears that we have because we know that we can fear God the most overall. So,
amen.
Okay.
All right. Well, we hope that you'll come back next week. We're going to be diving into more about what it looks like to fear the Lord and what we do when something is frightening. Like, how do we practically respond to that? So we hope you'll join us again for the whole fear series. You can find us at Risen Motherhood on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, risenmotherhood.com. You can also find our show notes, all of the extra resources there.
Thanks, guys.
Hi, I'm Renee, and I donate to Risen Motherhood because I've been so encouraged from half a world away. Join me in providing free gospel-centered resources for moms everywhere through Risen Motherhood at risenmotherhood.com/donate.
Risen Motherhood is a nonprofit organization made possible by people just like you. If you'd like to support the ministry of Risen Motherhood, please go to risenmotherhood.com/give. And don't forget, if you'd like to get all of our fear freebies, including the devotional, head to risenmotherhood.com/fear.